Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I may have told you this story before, but at a church I served in Arizona, like in many churches, the offices had been relocated to a different part of the building, mostly because of adding staff and office equipment, frankly. So at this church, our offices were in rooms that had formerly been Sunday school rooms. And at some point in time, the Sunday school rooms had been given names, names of various characters in the Bible. So the Sunday school kids could, you know, that perhaps the second graders went to the Peter room. That was their Sunday school room. Or the fifth graders met in the Mary and Martha room. Well, the space that was given to me for my office that had formerly been a Sunday school room had the name John the Baptist on it. And it was right next to the office where the secretary worked. You had to go outside to get to her space. I can't remember what the name of that room was, but the little sign on the doors, they were still there. No one had taken them off. And apparently, where people parked in the parking lot outside the church and would come up the walkway, somehow that directed them to my office first. Mine was the first door that they came to. So inevitably, they would poke their head into my office and think that they were at the church office, which they were. But really, what they wanted was the secretary's office because, let's face it, we all know where the real power and authority lies. And I got to thinking that the sign on my door, the one that said John the Baptist, was pretty accurate. Because that's what John does. He tells everyone, no, I'm not the one looking for. You want the person in the next office. You want the one who's more powerful than I am. I was always pointing the way to the next office, to the next person. Sometimes that's the way it is. Some people are destined to be the one whose job it is to point the way to another person. The one who gets all the fame and fortune is that other person. There was a comedian once upon a time by the name of George Burns. Anyone remember him? You did, yeah. I heard he thought he was God for a while. Or did he just play God in a movie? That's what it was. Anyway, George Burns was married to Gracie Allen. And Burns would always talk about how Allen was as the straight man, or woman in this case, who pitched the lines to the comedian, how she was the best at that, how great she was at doing that. In fact, he said sometimes that her setup lines would get more laughs than his joke lines. Even George, every George needs a Gracie, right? Every pitcher needs a catcher who's the one who really is calling the plays. Every guitarist needs a bass player, if only to keep the rhythm grounded and things moving forward. John the Baptist is the Gracie Allen to Jesus' George Burns. He's the Michael Anthony to Eddie Van Halen. He's Robin to Batman. And remarkably, in the Gospel of John, John the Baptist does not explicitly baptize Jesus. He baptizes others. And it's kind of implied that Jesus is baptized by him. But there's no actual account of John baptizing Jesus. Because in the author of the fourth Gospel, John the Baptist is more significantly the one who points to Jesus. John is the witness more than he's the Baptist in this gospel. John's most important work is to testify and to tell people about Jesus and to point him out when Jesus gets there. In verse 7 that we read today, he says, he came as a witness to testify to the light. And verse 29, which we didn't read today, but comes right after the last verse that we read, John points to Jesus, and you know these words. John points to Jesus and declares, "There he is. There's the Lamb of God. That's the one who will take away the sin of the world." There's a lot of things in the Gospel of John that are unique and interesting, like the use of the word light. John is the gospel in which Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." But before Jesus says that, the author says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In him was life, and the life was the light of all people. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. It says that John, who was the one who was baptizing, came to testify to the light. This light shining in the darkness, it actually packs more of a punch than it might seem at first. It's an interesting way of saying something, that darkness has not overcome light, as if darkness can overpower light. Darkness can't do that. Darkness can't darken light. Only light can overcome darkness. Physics tells us that, and they knew that even in ancient times. So when John's gospel says that darkness has not overcome the light, it's more like it's saying the light shines in places where it has no business being in the first place. Like a fish has no business climbing a tree. Or a roof doesn't belong on the floor. The people of the ancient world imagined that everything in the world had its place where it belongs and where it didn't belong. People belonged on the earth. Birds belong in the sky. Light belongs in the day and not in the night. Light belongs to times and places that are honest and true. Only darkness belongs where there is wrongdoing or evil or sin. And yet, this light from God that is the Word and in whom there is life, and who is the one of whom John testifies, this light is there in those places where only darkness was before. The one to whom John points will be like no other. He will enter into places of sin and death and pain and devastation, and he will shine the light of God. Today is Joy Sunday, as we already talked about with the kids. Pink Candle Sunday. The Latin word is gaudet. It's the same word where we get the word gaudy, right? In excess of decoration or emotion. Christmas decorations in some places can get gaudy when there's just too much, too many, too much of a good thing is gaudy. But not here. Not in our anticipation of what God is bringing into the world. Gaudet is joy that overflows, laughter that's contagious, hope that springs forth even when all seems lost. Gaudet is the light that shines in the darkness. In the places where sin and death believe that they have absolute control, where the light doesn't belong until God says to the powers of darkness, "No more! No longer will you kill and destroy. No more will you bring your stench of evil and pain. Out, you purveyors of poison that oppress the innocent and hold captive the voiceless. Be gone, you dealers of devastation that ruins homes and minds and souls." Gaudet is joy in the midst of pain. Joy in the midst of war and sickness and poverty. At the bedside when a discouraging diagnosis is spoken. In the refugee camp when the announcement is made that no more are going to be let in. On the day when a stray bullet flies through the bedroom window strikes a little girl in the head. In places where joy doesn't belong. where God shines light and there is hope in the midst of despair. Smiles through the flood of tears. Life in the depths of a dark and smelly tomb of death. That sign on my office door in the old Sunday school room, the one labeled my little space, John the Baptist, it's one that's affixed to each of us, a label that we carry around because we are each of us and all of us together, John the Baptist, or more appropriately, John the Witnesses. Our work is the same as John's, who did not claim to be the Messiah or Elijah or the prophet. He refused any name or definition except to be the one to point to the light and to proclaim that Jesus Christ is the light of God coming into the world. Only whereas I would point to the next office, to the place where the true answers and information could be found at the desk of the church secretary. Our job as witnesses is to welcome people in, to give them the hospitality of God's grace, and to share with them the light of God that is Jesus. That movie with George Burns, the one where he plays God, it's kind of what this is all about, actually. In the movie, God tells Jerry, played by John Denver, that he's to tell everyone about him. Tell people that God still cares, that God wants people to be good to one another, that God wants people to knock off some of the nasty things that they've been doing to each other. And of course, when John Denver's character, Jerry, starts doing just that, people begin to ridicule him and make fun of him and tell him he's crazy. Even Jerry's wife is embarrassed to be seen with Jerry out in public. It's as if there still exists that worldview that everything has its place where they belong and where they don't belong. When Jerry says of a popular TV preacher that he's taking advantage of people, the preacher takes Jerry to court, tries to sue him for slander. You see, the light of God isn't welcome where there is greed and selfishness. But that's where God sends Jerry. And that's where God sends us, into the places of darkness, into the places where people are hurt and abused. That's where the light shines, even though the darkness will believe and try to overcome it. But joy will not be overcome. It's a physics impossibility. As sure as the light burns on our pink candle today and the fire burns in our hearts as well, we will continue to point to the one who is the light, the one who brings joy, the one who comes to take away the sin of the world.